Have you noticed lately the gas prices going up? Almost over $4 a gallon, and in some places in California, over $8 a gallon. You can kind of feel the pinch. Wouldn't it be nice to be rich? Wouldn't it be nice to have a rich relative and inherit a fortune? Well, this message is entitled, Your Trillion Dollar Plus Inheritance. And in this message, we're going to talk about our inheritance. So we heard in a recent sermon, Galatians 3:29 was quoted, if you are in Christ, you are heirs according to promise. So we're in Christ and we are heirs. And that promise is quoted in Genesis 22 to Abraham in verse 15 to 18, where God says to Abraham, because you've been willing to sacrifice your son, that I will multiply your seed, you will possess the gates of your enemies, and all nations shall be blessed through you. That's amazing. But there's more. Let's go to Romans 8. Romans 8. And we'll read verses 16 and 17. Being Pentecost, we're focusing on the Spirit here. In verse 16 it says, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Verse 17, and if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Now I find this really exciting because we're joint heirs with Christ. It's amazing. Let's take this in for a moment. Let's just look at the depth of these words. Christ the Word in John 1 verse 3, it says, all things were made by him. He's our Creator, holy and worthy. He humbled himself to become human, lived a holy life, was tempted like we are, but holy. He suffered ridicule, pain, he was whipped and beaten and crucified so that all mankind could be reconciled to the Father. And the Father calls us, in 1 Corinthians 1, it says he calls the foolish, the weak, not the noble. He calls us to be first fruits. And more than that, as first fruits, we are also to be the bride of Christ. To have eternal life. Isn't that amazing? But there's more. What sort of generosity is it for God and Christ to allow us to be co-heirs with Christ? And I'd like to quote a verse that was used this morning in the sermon. Let's go to Ruth, because these words synergize with me just looking at the depth of this amazing promise as co-heirs. Ruth 2 and verse 10. This is Ruth falling down before Boaz. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said to him, "Why have I found grace in your eyes that you should take knowledge of me, seeing I'm a stranger?" I just feel so much awe and like me. It's like, this is such an amazing thing to be heirs, co-heirs with Christ. What an amazing thing. One cannot put a price on our calling. It cannot be bought. And God's Spirit cannot be bought. It's priceless. And it can only be given. In Acts 8, Simon tried to buy the Spirit to profit from him. No, it cannot be bought. So how sure is this promise? Let's go to Ephesians and read in chapter 1. Ephesians 1. How sure is this co-inheritance? Ephesians 1 and verses 13 and 14. In whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. So here it's saying that the giving of his Spirit to us is the promise of our inheritance. The earnest, the down payment. I'm giving you this as surety that you will have eternal life and you will have this co-inheritance with Christ. Isn't that amazing? So if we be co-heirs with Christ, what is his inheritance? And we can read that in Hebrews. Let's go to Hebrews 1. And Hebrews, the whole chapter of Hebrews 1 is amazing, but we'll start with verses 1 to 4. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spoke in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. So we're having this pattern of scripture that reinforces this inheritance and us as co-heirs. Let's look at the last verse there in that chapter, verse 14, talking of the angels. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them whom shall be heirs of salvation? That's us. So not only do we have this promise, we're co-heirs with Christ, now these angels are ministering to us. It seems like a special assignment. Let's turn to Hebrews 2 And go to the last verse there, verse 18. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. So this is part of our co-heir that we suffer with Christ, that we are tempted and tested, and like he did, he passed the test. That's our, suffering to honor God and to do his will. It's things that we miss out on. We have to put down our carnal nature. We have to self-sacrifice, as did Christ did. We are co-heirs with Christ. That gives me goosebumps. And when I put all this together, I almost have tears of awe or joy. It just really impacts me. But there's more. Let's go to Ephesians 3. And we'll read from verse 14 to 21. This is Paul's prayer. He says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with the fullness of God." Verse 20, "Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power working in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." So here it's saying that we just cannot fathom what God has prepared for us. We can't think or even imagine. It's beyond what we can think, create in our minds. Someone said to me, $1 trillion is almost a drop in the bucket to what God has in the universe. $1 trillion is almost an insult. God has so much more for us. It's beyond human imagination. Life is challenging. Yes, gas prices, persecution, suffering, trials. But our inheritance, Christ's inheritance, is priceless. And we're predestined to share with Christ, the one who is worthy. So I have a question in closing. With this knowledge, what manner of gratitude and awe and holiness are we inspired to? What shall we do?